Just put some fiber arts people all together and we'll just go broke all at the same time. Okay.
Hello, makers. Welcome to the Making Conversation podcast, where we chat all about making the app and the act. I'm Jen, head of marketing for Making. My pronouns are she, her, and my Making app username is Knit Pearl. Now, this is a very special episode of the podcast. When I say it's very special, I mean not only are you going to be able to watch this on YouTube because, well, we recorded everything. Hi, if you're watching this on YouTube, this is what I look like. But also we are going to upload this as a podcast episode, so you can listen to it wherever you are. As you might have heard, Flock Fiber Festival's inaugural weekend went off without a drop stitch. The energy in that place was amazing. Just a lovely fiber festival located in an old airplane hangar, filled with an incredible community of makers and the best Wi-Fi that the Seattle Parks Department can provide. We're so fortunate to partner with Flock. Now, when I first started talking to Jess, as I said in the podcast episode previous to this one, we just really wanted to come together and be able to share more of Flock with everybody, not only the people who were able to attend, but also the people who couldn't make it. The goal was to chat with vendors and tell their stories. And when I say that this weekend was the most magical and that everybody I talked to was like the kindest human, I'm not lying. There are no words for how wonderful this festival was, and everybody who joined in, and everybody who came by the booth and said hi. So thank you. Thank you to Flock and Jess and every single vendor we chatted with and everyone who came by our booth and told their story. And yes, we will be sharing some of those maker stories and people who came by and contributed to our community art. Thank you. You are why we built Making in the first place, why we built this special app, why we are all about community, because of that feeling that Flock gave us, the feeling that we get every time we open the app and just get so inspired. So thank you. You'll get to meet maybe some new artists. Maybe you'll get to know about some artists that you already know. But get ready for some stories about how some of the vendors that we met with became a maker. All right, so let's get in a little time travel machine and go back to this last weekend at Flock Fiber Festival.
I am Rochelle from Moondrake Co. Handayan. I didn't tend to be started a maker, but I'm a knitter. My very first color work sweater, I need three colors, and then I couldn't find a bright orange. So it's not a Gigi story, but yeah. I couldn't find the orange. And then my friend actually said, why don't you dye it yourself? And I said, I can do that. She said, yeah, have you heard of Handayan? I said, no. At that point, I didn't know anything about Handayan. And then I researched a little bit on YouTube, and then I learned how to do it. So then that's how I started to dye my very first skein of yarn.
Oh my goodness, that is awesome. I love that.
I'm Bethany. I am the dyer and owner of Woolberry.
And I am Reese. I'm also the dyer and co-owner of Woolberry, among other things.
Okay, wait, what are these other things?
I'm also a tattoo artist.
There we go. When did your personal maker journey start? Like, were you like popped out of the womb and had knitting needles in your hands? Or I hope not for your mother's sake.
Yeah, no, that would not be great. So I started knitting when I was 12. I've been very crafty, always trying to make random stuff.
Who taught you how to knit?
The library. There was
we love this. Oh my gosh. That's the first time somebody said the library.
Yeah. There was a 3-hour learn to knit, and I had bright neon yarn.
Oh my God.
Neon green yarn. And I made the weirdest scarf thing. when I was 12.
Because it's never a scarf, your first thing. It's a scarf thing.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not, you're not wearing it. You're not wearing it. No. Yeah. It's all sorts of shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how I learned. And I was like, oh, okay. And I like didn't really, I did it a little bit here and there. And then when I turned right when I was like 16, I like really got back into it. And then a day does not go by that I have not knit.
Not, yes.
I am a much nicer person when I can.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I understand.
Reese has tried to knit.
He knit. I was going to ask.
I gave him cotton to knit with first, which was not a good idea.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a nervous wreck when it comes to making stuff. So outside of like building things with my hands with wood, anything with like soft textures and like, I'm just a sweaty mess. So I've tried to make it from stuff that my mum's given me over the years. And I'm just a shocker. Like I'm an absolute shocker. But one thing I'm decent at is drawing, you know, and being an artist was something that was cultivated at a really young age from my mum. Cause she was a bit of a nomad growing up, and she really loved to cultivate painting and just trying to explore different avenues of being an artist. And I started very young to try and draw and try and practice things. And then mm-hmm. I took a big hiatus from drawing. I had like some interactions that I was just not stoked about as a kid from prominent artists and painters that should have just cultivated a young boy's dream to try and draw and be an artist. Mm-hmm. And I put it away for a really long time. Even up to the point of the pandemic, when it first started, I came across a random YouTube video that was like how to draw a traditional rose or a traditional tattoo. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I really should pick up some drawing again and practice. And drew some stuff up, and I just showed Beth. I was like, hey, look, this, like, I just put this together.
It's so good. And I was like, wait, hold on. Maybe I have a secret drawing, you know, skill. No, don't. I'm terrible. Still bad.
Yeah, so it basically just grew from there. So I ended up pretty much not putting a pencil down or an iPad pen for the next like 2 to 3 years straight.
That's awesome.
Just trying to continue to cultivate a style that I really like, and kind of went from there.
Hello, everyone. My name's Britt. I am a crochet designer under Not Britt. I basically make a lot of very drapey shawls, kind of my jam. I really enjoy that. But when I'm not doing that, I'm a stay-at-home parent, 3 lovely little children here in Seattle, which means I'm constantly busy. But the big reason why I'm here at Flock is because I'm representing the Makers of Color Collective. It's something that I created. I hosted on my own website. Basically, when I started being in the fiber industry, I had a really hard time finding people that looked like me in any shade. And I know we're out there. I just also know that it's really difficult to kind of be seen. So I created a directory of people there. If you're looking to diversify your craft, it's a way that you can go there. You can be a knitter, a dyer, a designer, a yarn store owner, a weaver, a notions maker, a tester, a tech editor. I mean, if you are in the fiber business and you want to be a VA, like join up. It's free. It's a tool for the community.
Let's talk about you.
Okay.
So when did your maker journey begin?
Ooh, my maker journey began because I decided that I was going to try to make a blanket for my unborn child. And I learned to crochet through a book. And I had some big fluffy Bernat yarn and a big old hook, and I was trying to do it, and I rage quit. No lie, I rage quit, and I threw it across the room. I couldn't get it, and I was like, this is not for me. I've never thought of myself as a creative person or anything. And I was like, fine. Basically, it was just proving my point. And then weeks later, I pick it back up, and it clicked. And when I say it clicked, it like clicked. And then I just kept going. I was making things. I found Tony Lipsey, and just seeing someone else's hands that looked like mine do stuff was revolutionary for me. I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. And I'll support her along the way. And I still support her. We've become like, you know, great friends and colleagues. And I love that. I test for her, and I test for tons of people pattern testing. And then I decided I should design. It's a slippery slope. Okay.
Okay. But you, I mean, like, well, maybe you did. I'm having a conversation in my head right now. Did you just like wake up one day and you're like, I'm going to be a designer? Were you just like free form and then somebody like complimented what you were wearing? Like, no. How did that go?
I was making something and I was testing something and I understood exactly how it was made just by looking at it. And the second that I could do that, I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. I got books. I, you know, kind of learned more about construction, got a lot of stitch books, and I just kind of went for it. And I make a lot of shawls because I tested a lot of shawls and I love shawls.
Yeah.
So I've just been kind of growing ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is there anything that you have learned along the way of like going from maker to designer?
Designing is hard. Okay. Being a maker is great because you're following directions. Mm-hmm. When you are designing something, you have an idea and then you have to actually make that thing happen. And I've never started the sketch and had it look exactly like I wanted to in the end. I have so many iterations. I'm a type of person where I respect the yarn. You got to respect the yarn, y'all. And I like the yarn to shine. So I will change a complete design if the yarn is being disrespected. I have done it before.
Yeah.
And I, you know, like, you got to make it sing.
Love it.
Yeah. I love it. I enjoy the journey of designing because I like seeing new stuff all the time. I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, a glutton for newness. And I like to be a part of that. And I just feel like it's good for me to crochet a lot. It's got to be good for somebody else.
Yeah.
So I just want to help it move and be as modern and as fun as possible for people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, when you say it's good for you to crochet a lot, is that because of like, I don't know, for me, crafting is very much connected to my mental health.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to do it every day. Mm-hmm. Like I have to do it every day.
Y'all, we love Brit. So to support the Makers of Color Collective, you can go to notbadbrit.com, KNOT, of course. And you can purchase one of her patterns. You can also send her a coffee and, you know, just share about it. I think that that's a really great way to support anything, really. But definitely take a moment to check out the Makers of Color Collective. And, you know, if you have the means, throw a little cash towards Brit.
My name is Kim McBrien Evans, and I'm the master evil genius at Indigo Dragonfly Yarn Studio in Halliburton, Ontario, Canada. We're about 3 hours north of Toronto. Turn left at the Moose, and you know you're in the right spot. But if you get to the Sled Dogs, you've gone too far. You have to back up.
Okay.
My pronouns are she and her, and we're just so thrilled to be here in Seattle for this event, this wonderful event here at Flock.
Tell us about your journey as a maker.
Ah.
So when did that start? How did the interest get sparked?
Well, I was born. I actually remember making things from a very, very young age, like toddler age. I learned how to knit when I was 4.
Nice.
I didn't do it a lot as a child.
Yeah.
But I got back into it as a teenager. But I've always been making things. We spent a lot of time when I was growing up at a summer cottage.
Okay.
Where there was no television, because 1970s, 1980s, no television. Sometimes there weren't other kids around to play with. So I spent a lot of time making.
Yeah.
A lot of time learning different crafts. My mother used to weave and sew and knit and crochet. My dad did needlepoint. At one point we look back at our family history and for 4 generations, every single member of my family did some sort of handcraft, usually a textile. So I can't help it.
I love that. I cannot help it.
It had to happen. Right.
So
that's when it started and it never stopped.
I feel like every story that has come up with people saying how they learned is like special, right? Even if it's like, I just decided to go and, you know, go on YouTube and learn, but usually it has like an actual story to it.
Yes.
And, how I learned how to knit was from an ex-boyfriend's mother. However, the most exciting part was after my dad passed, my mom and I were going through some photos.
Yes.
And there was a photo of the 3 of us wearing yellow sweaters.
Mm.
And I was a little tiny thing. And she goes, oh my gosh, I totally forgot your Nona knit those for us.
Oh, amazing.
And I had no idea.
That's amazing. That's
I'm getting wonderful. like goosebumps just thinking about it. But like the fact that it is kind of in your blood at
it
a certain
really
point,
is.
Right?
I really believe that it is. I decided I was going to make a wedding present, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a tablecloth with some embroidery. So mm-hmm. I taught myself how to cross stitch. And I cross-stitched this whole ginormous tablecloth. I made up the design. I chose all the colors. I just dove in and I did it. And my parents saw me doing it and they were like, that's really weird. How did you start doing that? We don't understand. We went to my grandparents' house for dinner and there was a tablecloth on the table that nobody had ever seen before. And my great-grandmother had cross-stitched it. And my parents were just like, whoa, this is weird.
I have goosebumps again.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
Right? So there are those stories in our history, I think, that
she was
that,
you
that
in those
make
moments.
Us who we want 100%.
Ours.
Yes.
Oh, sure. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in super, super quick. So I was super lucky that Ashley was able to join this weekend and help out with not only the booth, but some of the interviews that we did with the vendors. We did interviews a little bit differently. That's okay because we're both good at it in different ways, right? But just so you're aware, the next person you're about to hear from is Veronica from Miss Babs Hand-Dyed Yarn.
Where did your maker journey start?
Oh, gosh. I learned to knit when I was probably 5 from my mom. So my mom's mom owned a yarn store. And so I'm third generation yarn wrangler at this point is what I like to tell people. And I was one of those little kids who, you know, mom was, I couldn't leave her alone. So it's like, well, okay, fine. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you to do this too. So, I've been knitting, irregularly as a kid. And then after college, then I started working on and off in the yarn industry. So, yeah.
I love it. What are some of the other things that you do aside from knitting?
Oh, gosh. In fiber arts, I crochet. I once upon a time did some sewing, a little quilting and dressmaking. And I learned to weave. And the other thing I do for fun is watercolor painting.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. I paint. So
okay.
I
paint. I've always, as a kid, I was always coloring and I always enjoy, drawing and on art. And, I was one of the things that Babs influenced me on. She was like, oh, you want to do this? I'm going to pay for you to take some art classes. So I got to, take some watercolor classes and kind of get into it. And, part of what we do with yarn and dyeing and, making is all about color for us, mm-hmm. all about nuance and finding, beautiful colors, beautiful color combinations, and seeing and learning things about paint, learning things about mm-hmm. watercolor and how different things change and perform it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It gets new ways to experiment, you know, and I do a lot of, botanical mm-hmm. painting and drawing. So I love nature and I love flowers and plants and stuff like that.
Hi, I'm Courtney from Silly Goose Yarn. My Instagram is Silly Goose Yarns. Pronouns are she and her. I live in Minneapolis, but I'm actually a California native. Wound up in Minneapolis 3 years ago. I know everyone says I'm crazy, like, how did I go from sunny LA to Minneapolis? But I love the space,
mm-hmm.
the trees and the greenery, and my family's still in LA, so every February we just leave Minneapolis and go to LA for a month, and I stay with my parents.
I love that.
So I moved to Minneapolis in the middle of COVID,
mm-hmm.
didn't know anybody,
mm-hmm.
and started knitting. And I found a knitting community through Instagram. I literally posted like on my stories, like, "Hi, I live in Minneapolis. Does anybody want to come meet me? Because I don't know anybody."
I love it.
And so I started knitting, and I was working for a company in Los Angeles that had to terminate me because I was in Minneapolis now.
Mm-hmm.
And been between jobs and talking about yarn.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, why don't you just go dye some yarn? And I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And he was like, well, you're not going to know if you don't try. Really, honestly, like the only reason why I do this is because of my husband, and he pushed me to do it. And so I set up in my kitchen to start, and like my first batch was like brown, which I think is every dyer. And it just went from there. And so I've been doing it for like a year and a half. And we bought a house, and I'm supposed to have like a little studio downstairs, and I've taken over the entire level. I've already outgrown the space. And yeah, so it just kind of like, it just went from there, and it's fun. Like, I love playing with colors.
Yeah.
And I come up with these crazy ideas, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about yarn, and I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about yarn.
So where do you get your inspiration for your colors, especially when your website says that your favorite color is black?
Really, my favorite color is black with like some glitter and sparkles and like throw a couple unicorns in. So when I first started dyeing, I was like, oh, I have to do colorways that like everybody's gonna like. Can't appeal to everybody. And if you try to appeal to everybody, like then you're not doing what you really want to do. I kind of took a step back and thought about like, what do I like? Where do I get my inspiration? What do I want to see?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went from there. It's been interesting that, like, for example, I went to the orchestra a few months ago with my husband, and I don't remember who we were singing or whatever, but I was listening to the music, and I was seeing it in my mind in color.
Ooh, that's so good.
I know it's like corny, but you just kind of have to go with like whatever brings you joy, and there's gonna be people out there who like it.
Seeing the music in color, is that kind of always how you thought, or has that come after becoming a dyer?
It's definitely new. I mean, so in my past life, I worked in corporate retail. I was like, I wanted to be in fashion and a buyer and all this stuff. And then I grew up and I learned that it wasn't everything you think it is when you're young. I mean, I've always been into like fabrics and clothes and all that kind of stuff. But the whole like seeing thing and colors thing was completely new to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
To join the very first social marketplace app made for makers, crafters, and artists, by makers, crafters, and artists, head to themakingapp.com to download and sign up and join all of the other amazing makers that have made the multi-craftual space their home. Did you know you can also listen to our podcast in the Making app? Just open up the app, tap on Discover, and scroll down to podcasts. From there, you can listen while you are scrolling the feed, updating a project, or even just have it out while you're working on your favorite whip. If you've made it this far, and you're interested in sponsoring Making Conversation or having Making come to one of your events and possibly interview the vendors, bring a little bit of your event to the people who cannot attend, send us a note at hq@makingco.com. Thanks for listening and or watching, and we'll see you in the Making app.